Welcome. You're listening to the second season of The Baker's Notebook, a podcast about home baking. I'm Stacy, a mom of two, and I enjoy baking with my kids when I'm not teaching biochemistry lab.
And I'm Mia, a romance author and home baker. We're two longtime friends who met and bonded over the perfect apple pie. Bake along with us as we find new recipes to try. Listen as we compare notes about our successes and inevitable failures in the kitchen. Learn along with us as we become better home bakers, one delicious recipe at a time. This week, we're baking Healthiest Chicken Salad by Christina Che for Bon Appetit. Bake along with us.
So Mia, how did you go about choosing this recipe for this week?
Well, here we are in January, and I'm slowly recovering from the holidays.
And I think
a lot of people probably are. And, you know, we've had a lot of friends over. We've had a lot of great food. And I feel like it's time to, well, not necessarily like get fit as a resolution. if that's your thing, I support you. For me, I just want to have a nice like weekday meal that's not too complicated to prepare, but that feels good to eat. You know, you eat certain meals that not just taste great, but also make you feel better, make you feel good. And yeah. I was looking for something that's also satisfying. So I came across this recipe, Healthiest Chicken Salad. And I like that it's called healthy-ish.
Yeah.
So it still has all the like satisfying elements that I want in a meal, but it seems to have really wholesome ingredients. So it's something that I wanted to try. And I feel like we eat a lot of vegetables in this house, but we don't eat a lot of fresh salads for some reason. Mm. I think I just grew up in a house where we always cooked our vegetables. Okay. And so, you know, I'll do sauteed kale a lot. We'll do roasted carrots and roasted Brussels sprouts a lot, especially in the winter. But this salad, what I like about it is I feel like you can get these ingredients pretty much year round if you have a pretty good supermarket near you.
Yeah. Oh, definitely in California, we can get it year round.
For sure.
For sure. For sure. I love salads. I love a good salad. I get very excited about a salad. So I was really excited seeing this recipe that you picked because chicken salad's actually one of my things that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after princess cake last week, it is nice. It is nice to lighten up a little bit.
Let's take it down a notch.
And I really, really enjoyed this. And so there are a couple things I really wanted to talk about for this recipe, because the way that they cook the chicken in this recipe. I've done like a Chinese chicken salad before, where, you know, you take a chicken breast and you cook it on the stove and you sear it and all that. And then you shred it up.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you take water, 5 cups of water, add 3 tablespoons of kosher salt and, bring it to a simmer with the, chicken in there. So, you know, your chicken is completely, you look like, I felt like I was making soup or something, right? And have you cooked chicken like this before?
Poached a chicken?
I guess, is that what this is? This is a poached chicken?
I don't know if it's a traditional poach, but it felt like poaching. Yeah, it did. Yeah. I have poached a chicken before. It did not go well.
Okay.
And I actually made this. I made this twice because I wasn't really happy with the first round of chicken. So I'm glad you're bringing up this method of cooking the chicken.
Okay. So, okay. We'll call it poaching because it says discard poaching liquid. So yes, it's poached chicken. I've never done this before. I liked it.
The flavor is so good.
It's because it's like cooking in a salt water bath.
Mm-hmm.
So it you don't season the chicken beforehand. Mm-mm. You just add the salt to the water, and it's like it's getting cooked and brined at the same time. I mean, it's awesome, and it's so easy. So then, you know, it just simmers in this simmering water for It said 8 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was longer than that.
Yeah.
So I think maybe it depends how big your chicken breasts are. Maybe if you had smaller chicken breasts, maybe it's 8 to 10 minutes. But mine took over 12 minutes. Okay.
So well, that's, you know, not much longer.
Well, if you go with 8 minutes, it's 50% more time. That, well, to me is, you know, mathematically significant.
Oh, see, I am a completely intuitive person. So I'm like, two minutes.
So no, but basically what I recommend to do is to have a meat thermometer, mm-hmm. an instant read thermometer of some sort. And I just checked that the inside was at least 150. And at that point is when I took it out of the liquid.
150.
Yeah,
that's the safe zone.
Yeah. I mean, you'll read different things, but basically, like those thermometers that you get will say something like 165 or something for poultry.
Yeah,
but then you're eating overcooked poultry.
right.
To be totally honest, at 150, the things that you can kill by heat, mm-hmm. will be killed.
Okay, that's really good to know, because. So. Sometimes chicken. I'm making like a whole chicken and I want to go 165 if I test it in the dark meat. Mm-hmm. But if I'm just cooking chicken breast, I don't want to overcook it because it's so quick, right? It gets really nasty and dry.
Yep.
So for this, I had that problem. I was like really nervous that I was undercooking a big chicken breast. Uh-huh. So I did. I overcooked it.
Oh, so did you overcook it?
I did, because I was really nervous about it and I did measure it at 165, but it was really rubbery and dry. Oh. And so
at 165, like, it's too late.
It's too late. It's
dry. Okay.
So I thought, well, next time what I would have done is I would have cut the breast into thinner slices before I put it in, mm-hmm. the water. Mm-hmm. That way I would have a little bit more control over how the inside gets cooked.
Yeah, that's smart.
But when I went to the store to get the same kind of chicken, they didn't have it. So I used a package of chicken tenders.
Yeah, well, isn't that basically chicken breast cut up?
I think the anatomically. There you go. Anatomically, there's like a muscle inside the chicken breast that is the chicken tender. But
oh, I didn't know that.
There are companies, I think, that just cut it into strips and sell it as chicken tenders.
Oh, okay.
I think, but it's just a little skinny, thin piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a pound of those the second time around. But then I realized, like with these instructions, which is bring chicken 3 tablespoons kosher salt, 5 cups of water to a bare simmer, mm-hmm. in a medium pot over medium heat. Chicken should be simmered. Be patient. This will take a little while. I live in a swirl of chaos. There is no way.
Be patient.
Be patient, number one. Number two, watch a pot until it boils. Literally, there's a saying that says, do not do that. Yes. And so it's like once liquid begins to simmer, reduce heat to low. And no, this did not happen in Chaos Kitchen.
Okay. So what did happen in Chaos
Kitchen? So what happened is I got to the 3 tablespoons kosher salt, 5 cups of water, put in, uh-huh. my chicken tenders, put the heat on like medium heat. And I was like, all right, do your thing. And then my child needed me.
Yeah.
And so I had to leave the kitchen. And when I came back, it was at a full rolling boil. it was like a witch's cauldron. I was like, okay. And I tried to figure out how long I was gone and I had no idea.
Right. At that point. Right? Yeah.
It wasn't that much. So I took my thermometer and I was like, oh, 165 is too much, guys. So I got it. And the temperature was 180. And I was like, oh no, what did I do? So I took it out and I didn't do any of this, like, you know, let it sit in the water stuff. Like, I just took it out of the water and I rinsed it like pasta.
Oh, to cool really quickly.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? It was perfect.
Oh, that worked. Good for you. So there you go.
If I could tell you how long that took, that would be a really great recipe hack, but I can't tell you how long it took. So if you, like me, live in, you know, the eye of a storm and can't watch your chicken and it comes to a boil, just, you know, take that internal temp, make sure it's safe, and then cool it down. And it was fine. Yeah. As long as it isn't like in boiling water forever, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know, is poaching a way that makes it really hard to dry it out because you're cooking it in liquid? I don't know.
I think so. And also it keeps you from, in theory, from overcooking things, because I've had poached salmon tender, you know, like very, very tender poached salmon is really nice.
Yeah.
And it's like a nice way to prepare protein for a salad.
Yes. This was, in fact, I used this same method to make a Greek salad with chicken on it. Because I enjoyed this chicken, and I had to go to a potluck, and I was just like, oh my gosh, the way that you poach this chicken, that's what I'm going to do for this Greek salad. And then shredded it up and did it for that. And so this is now my go-to when I need shredded chicken recipe, because I think it's great.
It's great. It's really, really great. And having that will be a very like nice thing to add to different recipes for sure.
And adding that much salt, you might go, wow, this seems like a lot of salt. Do do it, because it really, you're not adding anything else to this chicken. It's just cooking in this salt water, and it,
and then you drain it. Yeah,
so good.
It's alarming, isn't it? It's like, what? Why does this taste so nice?
Yeah, it is kind of alarming.
Of all the things that could alarm you, this is one thing that can alarm you.
Now, okay, in Chaos Kitchen,
yeah,
did you do what she says to do with the scallions? In terms of, you know, you cut these scallions and then you cover them in cold water and soak them for 10 minutes and then you drain them and you get them to curl up
and rinse them
Did you do that?
Yeah. You know, that's so
you did.
It's restaurant. I did it because I wanted to see what it would be like. And I think it really makes a difference if you have like big fat kind of aged green onions, I guess.
Okay.
But if you have like kind of fresh, nice, skinny ones, it's fine. Like,
yeah. See, I had nice, fresh, skinny ones, and I took my kitchen shears and just
snipped. Yeah. Snip.
Over the
Yeah. Yeah. I know that, you know, some people can be turned off by the slime of green onions, but no, this is my house. It's fine.
Yeah. I've always been okay with just chop. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we do like for a baked potato too. We just chop it, you know, right up there. And then did you also cut the cucumbers fancy, which I guess it's not really fancy. It's it in half.
Different, it's, right. They're like spears almost.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Did you do your spears?
I did, because I had some really little Persian cucumbers that were really delicious and sweet.
Okay. So you had Persian. See, I didn't get Persian cucumbers. I got just the regular generic cucumber. I don't know what you call that cucumber, but the big one.
Is it? It's not an English one?
No. The English one is the nice long one that's like individually wrapped. This is
like the 1950s giant cucumber.
Yes. That's what I had. one that, you know, you slice and you put on your eyes. That one.
Oh, see?
That's the cucumber.
Spa cucumber.
I had the spa cucumber. And so I just like cut it up randomly.
Cut them, right.
Cut
the cucumber. Did you seed it?
No.
No.
I just left it all in there.
Should be fine. With a recipe like this, though, I mean, like, it's a salad, so you can make it however you want.
That's really. That was my mindset too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a salad. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, question.
For the dressing. Wait, I know what you're gonna ask me, but go ahead.
For the dressing, you're supposed to crush the sesame seeds in a mortar and pestle until some of the seeds have turned into a powder. Alternatively, if you'd rather spare yourself elbow grease, pull seeds a few times in a food processor, then transfer to me. What did you do?
Oh my gosh, I put everything in a food processor. I put all of step four in a food processor and went brr, brr, brr.
Okay, because I put it in my blender cup.
Yeah,
because I'm like, mortar and pestle, I gotta go find that. I know I have one somewhere, and I don't know where it is right now. And oh wait, she even says, alternatively, you can do this. Yeah. That's what I'm doing. And I went with what you said. Add lime juice, tahini, soy sauce, honey, red pepper flakes, and mash to create a paste. I'm like, okay, if that's all going in the mortar and pestle, that's all going in the blender cup. And I did that, and then a quarter cup of water and whisked it to combine, which was, again, in the blender cup.
I let my food processor whisk it.
Yeah, exactly, right? And then tasted it seasoned with salt. So, and it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you really, I mean, if you have a mortar and pestle and you want the workout, go for it. But
I wonder what the textural difference is, or if it releases more oils and makes it creamier. I don't know. I feel like that's what it would be, because isn't it like pesto and aioli, like old fashioned style? They do it in a mortar
and
pestle.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Yeah. It emulsifies, yeah. Right?
Yeah. So maybe it emulsifies
in a different way.
In a different way. But bottom line is, this dressing was delicious.
It's so good. I would go heavy on the salt on this.
I did. But then, that's me too.
Do you taste your salad dressing by dipping lettuce in it?
I dip my finger in it.
That works too. But I mean, like, I saw this on a cooking show once. If you use a piece of lettuce to test the dressing, then you'll know the balance of it better.
That's smart.
So I did that, and it takes a pretty good amount of salt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's a big salad. This is a big salad.
It's a big salad. It is a very big salad. I did not add cilantro because we're not fans of it in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, it's a salad. You know, there's a lot of
mm-hmm.
play that you can have here.
I love cilantro, but my husband is one of those people who doesn't, and it tastes like soap to him.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It tastes like soap to some people. So what did you do? Did you put it on the side?
I didn't add it. I was thinking about using some parsley, but I was too lazy, and it was cold, and I didn't want to go outside into the garden. Lazy. And also chaos. And so I didn't use any herbs. But I would personally, if you like cilantro, I think I would have loved it in this.
Yes, I think it would complement it well because of the flavors that are going on. If you do enjoy cilantro.
If you're a fan, I feel like it would have taken it into almost like a Vietnamese flavor profile. Yeah.
I think so. And I think it would have been really good. I mean, mm-hmm. it already has definitely those Asian, you know, with the tahini and
or sesame and sesame soy.
And soy sauce and all of that going on. But cilantro would definitely take it that direction.
So how was the salad received by the family?
We all really liked it. It was really enjoyed by everyone, I have to say. And how about you?
I mean, I am a huge fan. Husband is a huge fan. Child is a huge fan. It just makes a giant amount. So I would adjust that next time, because it says here 2 to 4 servings. Oh, I felt like this would have been for maybe 6 people, maybe more.
6 to 8, I would say.
Yeah, it's a big salad. So, you know, come hungry or cut it in half. Stacey, what are we baking next week?
Well, we're continuing on the lighter, healthy-ish trend, and we're going to do buckwheat crepes from King Arthur Flour.
Yeah. Thanks for baking along with us this week. For links to the recipes and other notes, please check out our website, www.thebakersnotebook.com, or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Baker's Notebook. You can leave us a voice message on our website if you'd like to be featured on the show. If you bake any of these recipes, please make sure to tag us on social media. We'd love to see what you create. Until next time, happy baking!